Well, good evening. We've reached Eastern Daylight Time. Finally, it's March 10th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 18:53 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Now we're on Daylight Savings. And we've set the clocks ahead 1 hour, which means that we will be able to not waste the daylight that we have, and at the end of the workday it will still be light as well. That was an interesting noise from outside. Our study in the Crucible article today is from chapter 8, paragraph 5. Very important part of the article, or very, very interesting, very important discussion in the Crucible of Credible Creed, chapter 8, about the Lake Moeris. This is why I believe the timing that we have for Joseph's birth is exactly correct. And it shouldn't be possible, right? I mean, 1850 years BC to be exactly correct. This miraculous confirmation of the dating by the Arab historical tradition is some bonus. That's what is the reason why I think it's exactly correct, is this confirmation from the Arab historical tradition that we just mentioned about the story told by Zechariah Sitchin about Joseph that he got from the Arab tradition. Pharaoh Moeris, the lake was called Lake Moeris or Lake Karun, but Pharaoh Moeris ruled from circa 1860 BCE. That's important, and that date we're fairly confident that we know when he ruled, because his predecessor, Senusret III, during his reign in year 7, I believe, of his reign, there was a rising of Sothis, and that puts his year 1 at 1878 BCE. And then we know how long he ruled until Moeris, or we know well enough that there's a lot of confidence in these dates. A lot more so than you would expect for something as old as 1860 BCE. The 12th dynasty of Egypt, sporting what is considered to be the most stable chronology found prior to the New Kingdom. That's stable, meaning there's no real contest. Nobody can really argue for a different chronology. And the New Kingdom was 1550 to 1069 BCE, a very long span of nearly 500 years. But at a time 300 years after 1860. And the Greek Sicilian Diodorus Siculus, quote, used the best sources and reproduced them faithfully, end quote, and writes circa 60 to 30 BCE. And this is the quote from Diodorus Siculus. Moeris succeeded to the throne of Egypt and built in Memphis itself the North Propylaea, which far surpasses the others in magnificence, while 10 Shuni above the city, meaning south, evidently, because that's where the Lake Moeris is, relative to Memphis, he excavated a lake which was remarkable for its utility and an undertaking of incredible magnitude. For its circumference, they say, is 3,600 stades, which is a stadium. And that would be, well, it's not 400 yards, I don't think, but it's, I mean, it's a stadium. It's not like a track such as we see in track and field. I don't think it's quite that big. it's a stadium, like a Roman stadium. And the I'm not sure what the unit stade is. We can look all that up. And its depth, in most parts, 50 fathoms. What's a fathom? 6 feet or something like that? I think. Anyway, it's pretty deep, in other words. It's a fathom is not 1 foot. It's a lot more than that. What man, accordingly, in trying to estimate the magnitude of the work, would not reasonably inquire how many myriads of men laboring for how many years were required for its completion? Speaking about the Lake Moeris. And as for the utility of this lake and its contribution to the welfare of all the inhabitants of Egypt, as well as for the ingenuity of the king, no man may praise them highly enough to do justice to the truth. Moeris was another name for Amenemhat III, but he's the king we identified in at least a few of our articles, such as Joseph and Own, as Manasseh, the son of Joseph. We identified Manasseh as being the same person as Amenemhat III, and as Minos also, or Minos, the king of Crete. It's remarkable because Minos and Manasseh have the same consonants in them. But for since the Nile did not rise to a fixed height every year, and yet the fruitfulness of the country depended on the constancy of the flood level, this king, who may well have been the son of Joseph, and that's why Joseph was working on it with him, he excavated the lake to receive the excess water. Now, this might be Joseph's work, actually. In order that the river might not, by an excessive volume of flow, immoderately flood the land. Because there were floods in Egypt, and form marshes and pools, nor by failing to rise to the proper height, when there was a drought in Egypt, or when the Nile didn't rise in the springtime, ruin the harvests by the lack of water. He also dug a canal, 80 stades long and 3 plethora wide. A plethora is 300 feet, it says here. From the river to the lake, he dug a canal. This is Joseph's canal, 300 feet wide, sometimes turning the river into the lake and sometimes shutting it off again. And by this canal, sometimes turning the river into the lake and sometimes shutting it off again, turning the Nile River towards the lake using the canal, and sometimes shutting it off again, he furnished the farmers with an opportune supply of water, opening and closing the entrance by a skillful device and yet at considerable expense. For it cost no less than 50 talents. 50 talents of silver, evidently not gold, but still a lot of money. But in Egypt, silver was worth a lot. 50 talents of whatever currency they were using. 50 talents, each talent being 75 pounds, that's a lot of weight. If a man wanted to open or close this work, the lake has continued to serve well the needs of the Egyptians down to our time, and bears the name of its builder, being called to this day the Lake of Moeris. But imagine paying whatever that would be if it were 50 talents of gold. I mean, that would be millions and millions. I mean, we can work it all out, but it's just a huge amount of money. And we, you know, the details of working all this stuff out, it's not reliable. You can't compare their money to our money today exactly, so it gives us an idea that it was very expensive. Now, the king in excavating, but just to close off the canal or to open it up was very expensive. the lake has continued to serve well the needs of the Egyptians down to our time. And even in the time of Francis Cope Whitehouse, when they, in the time that he wrote about, when they worked on the Wadi Rayan and redeveloped that for the purpose of restoring this lake to a useful level. But it bears the name of its builder, being called to this day the Lake of Moiris, Diodorus Siculus wrote. And Diodorus Siculus lived, 60 to 30 BCE, as we noted at the beginning of this quote. Now the king, in excavating it, left a spot in the center where he built a tomb and two pyramids. We don't need to read all that, but it's fascinating to read. I think we should move on, though. Then he says at the end, now this is the account, Diodorus says, which the Egyptians give of Moiris. It's quite a detailed account about what he did with the fish from the lake and so on, how he built pyramids in the center of the lake on an island. And it was a monumental achievement to build the lake, to use the canal, to build the canal. And it's called Joseph's Canal. And it's the time of Joseph, just right in the correct period of time, while Joseph is exactly the right age to agree with the Arab tradition, and everything is perfect. It's so perfect, and it wasn't contrived by us in the chronology. The chronology just fell out that way. It had to come out that way based on other things. And then we found the time of Abraham coincided perfectly with the time of Gudea. And that exactly correlated with the kingdom of Assyria at the time when Ninus, also known as Gudea, as identified by us, began the Assyrian kingdom in 2141 BCE, which is even, that was Abraham's time, even before Joseph. Even that time aligned magnificently in our chronology, only by the blessing of Jehovah, though, not by our own efforts. David the king now said to all the congregation, 1 Chronicles 29, Solomon, my son, the one whom God has chosen, is young and delicate. So now we're in the time of David, which is 1058 to 1017 BCE. Is young and delicate, but the work is great, for the castle is not for man, but for Jehovah God. Today I'm going to use the name as pronounced as Jehovah. And according to all my power, I've prepared for the house of my God the gold for the gold work, and the silver for the silver work, and the copper for the copper work, the iron for the iron work, and the timbers for the timber work, onyx stones and stones to be set with hard mortar, and mosaic pebbles and every precious stone, and alabaster stones in great quantity. And since I am taking pleasure in the house of my God, there is yet a special property of mine, gold and silver. I do give it to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, David said. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for coating the walls of the houses, of the gold for the gold work, and of the silver for the silver work, and for all the work by the hand of the craftsman. And who is there volunteering to fill his hand today with a gift for Jehovah? And then we see the princes of the paternal houses, and the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the chiefs of the thousands and of hundreds, and the chiefs of the business of the king proceeded to volunteer, and they gave gold worth 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics, and silver worth 10,000 talents, and copper worth 18,000 talents. and iron worth 100,000 talents to the service of the house of the true God. And what stones were found with any persons they gave to the treasure of the house of Jehovah under the control of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people gave way to rejoicing over their making voluntary offerings. For it was with a complete heart that they made voluntary offerings to Jehovah. And even David the king himself rejoiced with great joy. Consequently, David blessed Jehovah before the eyes of all the congregation. And David said, "Blessed may you be, O Jehovah, the God of Israel, our Father, from time indefinite, even to time indefinite. Yours, O Jehovah, are the greatness and the mightiness and the beauty and the excellency and the dignity, for everything in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Jehovah, the one also lifting yourself up as head over all. The riches and the glory are on account of you, and you are dominating everything. And in your hand there are power and mightiness, and in your hand is ability to make great and to give strength to all. And now, O our God, we are thanking you and praising your beauteous name. And yet, who am I," David went on, "and who are my people that we should retain power to make voluntary offerings like this? For everything is from you, and out of your own hand we have given to you. For we are alien residents before you, and settlers the same as all our forefathers. Like a shadow our days are upon the earth, and there is no hope. O Jehovah our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build for you a house for your holy name, from your hand it is, and to you it belongs. And I well know, O my God, that you are an examiner of the heart, and that it is in rectitude that you take pleasure. I, for my part, in the uprightness of my heart, have voluntarily offered all these things, and now your people who are on hand here, I have enjoyed seeing making offerings voluntarily to you. O Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our forefathers, to keep..." Oh, wait a minute. I wanted to say Israel is mentioned there instead of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says Abraham, Isaac, and Israel because Israel was a name later given to Jacob after he struggled with the angel. "Do keep this, Jehovah, to time indefinite as the inclination of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and direct their heart to you." In other words, keep them in the same way of thinking to give to the work of Jehovah's house. Now, verse 19, "And to Solomon, my son, give a complete heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your regulations, and to do everything and to build the castle for which I have made preparation." And that prayer was not fulfilled when Solomon later became unfaithful. But he did, of course, remain faithful during the construction of the house of Jehovah. And David went on to say to all the congregation, "Bless now Jehovah your God." And all the congregation proceeded to bless Jehovah the God of their forefathers and bow low and prostrate themselves to Jehovah and to the king. And they continued to sacrifice to Jehovah and offer up burnt offerings to Jehovah on the day following that day. 1,000 young bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 male lambs, and their drink offerings, even sacrifices in great number for all Israel. And they continued eating and drinking before Jehovah on that day with great rejoicing. And they proceeded a second time to make Solomon, the son of David, king, and to anoint him to Jehovah as leader, and also Zadok as priest. And Solomon began to sit upon Jehovah's throne as king in place of David his father, and to make a success of it. And all the Israelites were obedient to him. As for all the princes and the mighty men, and also all the sons of King David, they submitted themselves to Solomon the king. And Jehovah continued to make Solomon surpassingly great before the eyes of all Israel, and to put upon him such royal dignity as had not come to be upon any king before him over Israel. That's true. Solomon was the third king only, though, of Israel. As for David, the son of Jesse, he reigned over all Israel. In the days that he reigned over Israel, he was the second king of Israel after Saul. His days that David reigned were 40 years. In Hebron he reigned for 7 years, and in Jerusalem he reigned for 33 years. Remarkably here, we see that the Bible's not always going to care about the exact numbers, but this is chronologically important. But we know he reigned in Hebron for 7.5 years, actually. From I think it's 1 Samuel 5 and 5, but somewhere in the earlier books of the Bible. And gradually he died. King David died in a good old age, satisfied with days, riches, and glory. And Solomon, his son, began to reign in place of him. As for the affairs of David the king, little children, the first ones and the last, there they are written among the words of Samuel the seer, and among the words of Nathan the prophet, and among the words of Gad the visionary, together with all his kingship and his mightiness and the times that had passed over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the lands. So if we look up this 40 years, it's 2 Samuel 5 and 4, not 1 Samuel. And it's 7 years, 6 months in Hebron, verse 5. 2 Samuel 5 and 5, right, not 1 Samuel 5 and 5. That's the end of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And it's also the end of 1 Chronicles, the book. We've now completed the book of 1 Chronicles. We'll possibly begin the book of 2 Chronicles tomorrow. Amos, we finished Joel yesterday, and now we're on the book of Amos. Now, Adam Clark has a lot to say about Amos in his commentary. It's very useful to read the commentary of Adam Clark. At the beginning of his commentary on the book of Amos, we've probably got information we can look at there, too. We haven't done our proverb yet, though, for today, so let's do that first. It's from Proverbs 26, verses 11 and 12, little children. It says in the Ward Green version, which was written in 2004, a dog will return to its vomit once more, and fools repeat folly the same as before. You, wise of your wisdom, in your wise esteem, more hope for a fool than for you, it would seem. And we have Amos, and we have the commentary of Adam Clark. Let's see if we can... That's it. There, there's Adam Clark. We can go from Joel to Amos chapter 1. It says a lot of nice information that's good to have. But later in the book of Amos, the high priest of Bethel accuses Amos before King Jeroboam. Now this is Jeroboam II, of course, in the year identified here by Mr. Clark as a different date from what we identify, but he says 783 or 787, right? And he's got the birth of Christ as 4 BCE apparently, from based on that. And what were we? Oh yeah, the book of, let's look for Moses part 2. Is this it? Joseph. There it is. Moses part 2, if we go back. Yeah, we need to just take a brief look at this if we want to see what I'm talking about here. there was a period of time when I still haven't fixed this article yet. We'll get around to it eventually, hopefully. If we live long enough, right? But, I mean, we can't do everything every day in one day. It can't be done. There's just a broken link there. But it looks like here, you know, Jeroboam ruled, and then there was a period of he ran away. And this was right around the time of this earthquake. Or also, there was a solar eclipse mentioned, too, in Amos chapter 8, verse 9, which we'll come to eventually in our reading. And it's mentioned in Moses part 1 and part 2, this eclipse of 784 BCE. And that was the timing that is exactly 65 years prior to the capture of Samaria, as prophesied. Interesting that we found that recently as confirming a prophecy of, I think it was Isaiah, that prophecy of 65 years. Yeah, I believe that's right. The words of Amos, chapter 1, verse 1, who happened to be among the sheep raisers from Tekoa, which he visioned concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Right. That would be coinciding. This is Jeroboam, 826 to 785. Uzziah is also called Azariah, 810 to 757. Right? So, compare with 826 to 785 or 784. It's in the same time period as Uzziah or Azariah, 810 to 757. So somewhere in that time period, maybe not as late as 757, doesn't have to be. And it was in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the second Jeroboam, in other words, the king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he proceeded to say, Jehovah, out of Zion he will roar, Amos said, and out of Jerusalem he will give forth his voice, and the pasture grounds of the shepherds must go to mourning, and the summit of Carmel must dry up. This is what Jehovah has said, on account of 3 revolts of Damascus, and on account of 4 I shall not turn it back, on account of their thrashing Gilead, even with iron thrashing instruments. And I will send a fire onto the house of Haziel, and it must devour the dwelling towers of Ben-Hadad. And I will break the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from Bicathaven and the holder of the scepter from Beth-Eden. And the people of Syria will have to go as exiles to Kir, Jehovah has said. This is what Jehovah has said. On account of 3 revolts of Gaza, and on account of 4, I shall not turn it back, on account of their taking into exile a complete body of exiles to hand over to Edom. And I will send a fire onto the wall of Gaza, and it must devour her dwelling towers. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the holder of the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn my hand back upon Ekron, and the remaining ones of the Philistines must perish. The sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. This is what Jehovah has said. On account of 3 revolts of Tyre, and on account of 4 I shall not turn it back, on account of their handing over a complete body of exiles to Edom, and because they did not remember the covenant of brothers. And I will send a fire onto the wall of Tyre, and it must devour her dwelling towers. This is what Jehovah has said, on account of 3 revolts of Edom, and on account of 4 I shall not turn it back, on account of his pursuing his own brother with the sword, and because he ruined his own merciful qualities, and his anger keeps tearing away forever. And his fury, he has kept it perpetually. Remember Esau? How he was seeking to kill Jacob after Jacob stole his birthright. And I will send a fire into Teman, and it must devour the dwelling towers of Bozra. This is what Jehovah has said, on account of 3 revolts of the sons of Ammon, and on account of 4 I shall not turn it back, on account of their slitting open the pregnant women of Gilead, for the purpose of widening out their own territory. And I will set fire to the wall of Rabbah, Rabbah of the sons of Ammon, and it must devour her dwelling towers with an alarm signal in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of storm wind, and their king must go into exile, he and his princes together, Jehovah has said. And that's the end of Amos chapter 1. Rabbah is a famous city of the sons of Ammon that we see mentioned many times in different places. Rabbah of the sons of Ammon, from Jeremiah 49, verse 2. I knew I'd heard that expression somewhere. Rabbah of the sons of Ammon. So, our study's concluded. I want to say a few other things. Because today I tested my washer in as far as the rinse and spin cycles. Seems to work fine. And the water pumps out. I can pump the water out into the drain. It empties out fine. So that's really good news for everybody who helped to deliver that and to help me purchase it also. Alex, good news. And also the delivery men were really good. Moash and Abu Bender Golden were the two delivery men. They did a great job. Today we've got snow now, which is just a little bit of snow right now, but it was supposed to be more than this, but it might still come tonight before 1 in the morning tomorrow, apparently, or roughly around midnight. We're expected by then to have quite a lot of snow, but so far we haven't got it. But at the time when the washer and dryer were delivered, and I've tested the dryer, saw that it works as far as, I didn't run it to develop heat, but that's because I haven't connected the venting yet for the dryer. But I've made sure that it runs and it spins. So I know that these two appliances appear to work. And so when I need to do a wash, I'll be testing the washer. And when I need to do a load of drying, for now I can use my old dryer. We're just about out of time, though. But I want to connect a new one as soon as possible. It's just a bit of an engineering challenge to figure out how to connect it. I need to get enough duct work and figure out how to connect them together. If I want them both to be connected with a Y connector, then I can do that. But it's more to do. A lot of engineering involved in something even that simple. March 10th, 2024 of the Common Era is the time, the date that is, and the time is 1926 hours Eastern Daylight Time. We're saving daylight beginning today. And it began very early this morning. We're now at 33 minutes. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. This is Liv Dusty in my behalf, and also this is Cassie saying bye for now.